Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
Andy Jacobs.
This is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, we spoke to a British long jumper, who has had, it looks like he's going to have quite the journey to the next Olympics. He had an amazing story, so Daniel Brown will be telling us that. What else did we like? Oh, yeah, we spoke to Rhys James. Not that one. The other Rhys James, as you'll discover. We had a little bit of fun with that. And we saw what was in your bag, Andy, didn't we? It was back.
Yes, it was back. People seem to enjoy that.
Oh, so right, what's in Andy's bag?
And we had a chat about last night's football and a bit of other stuff. There we go.
Discovered
that I can't say a word.
That's right. Oh, he kept his powder dry there. What a tease. He can't say a word. Here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Paul. And I enjoyed the football last night. A couple of good games I watched and caught up with all the goals. And I turned over to the Porto game to watch this interminable VAR decision.
Oh, that was ridiculous. Oh,
how long did that take?
Yeah.
There should be a time limit, I think. It's ridiculous.
I went with a goal show last night, Andy. I didn't sort of favour one game because there was a lot of good games last night. And I think we should all fear Bayern. That was my takeaway from it.
Oh, yes, thank you.
Even with quite a lot of players missing. I mean, I'm really sticking my neck out, but I think they're going to be there or thereabouts at the end of the... But no, they were fantastic. They scored... There was a lot of great goals last night.
Have you noticed
really
a lot of great goals outside the box?
Yeah. And
I think that is a direct result of the crowd not being there, because you know when you take a shot from outside the box and it goes way over, the crowd goes, hey! You know, they get all that.
Or your own crowd are disappointed that you wasted a chance.
Oh, you know, cheers, exactly. So
you're bolder, you think?
Yeah, I think there is an element of that, no question about it. In the Porto game, it was very unfortunate... Well, it's not his fault. He's named Corona. He plays for Porto.
Oh, yeah.
Shame, really.
Tough times.
Yeah, well, it was. And Chancel Mbemba, he had a great game, actually.
Yeah.
And, of course, it's his birthday in a couple of weeks' time. Yes, Mbemba, the 5th of November.
Oh, yeah, it's very good.
And Sanusi.
Have you looked it up when his birthday is?
No, of course it isn't. Sanusi.
Well, it might be. Well, you haven't looked it up. You haven't done your research.
And Sanusi, I wondered if he supplied the machines they washed the kit in.
But, that's very good.
I'm blaming the quality of these jokes on the lack of crowd. You blame everything on the lack of crowd now.
Yeah. It really has affected the quality of your gag.
I don't know if you read this story about Natalie Portman.
He was born on the 5th of November.
No, he wasn't.
So it's Mbemba, the 8th of August. Doesn't work quite as well, does it, really?
Not as good, really.
No.
I didn't want to let that get in the way. And Natalie Portman, the actress, the Star Wars actress, has bought a football team. She's got a consortium.
Mm.
They're called Angel City. And there's people like Eva Longoria, Jessica Chastain, and America Ferrera. And I don't know if you know this, but America Ferrera starred in that comedy drama about the famous Italian striker, Ugly Bettiger.
It's like the birthday spreads back when we didn't ask for it. Isn't it? Wow.
No problem at all.
Yeah.
And also, I did feel, this is a more serious point, that these players that are playing now, it's different for fans. I mean, we're missing football like mad, but the lifespan of a fan, hopefully and generally, is much longer than a player.
Yeah.
So a lot of these players are going to go a whole season without the adrenaline of fans, without the buzz of it. You know, it's quite a difficult thing. So when their careers end, that will be a kind of asterisk in their career, that they had this whole season, because I think it is going to be the whole season, you know, like that, which is a pity for players, I think.
We're going to talk about Max Kilman a little bit later on, and who's just signed a new contract at Wolves and was man of the match in the game the other night. It's made a brilliant start. Came from non-league, a bit like a sort of righty Sir Les character at 22, 23, coming into the game at a later stage, picked up in non-league like Chris Smalling, which is a good story. But, you know, he's going to play probably his first season for Wolves with no fans there. It's going to be like being back at Maidenhead, really, with respect, isn't it? Respect. Very, very small
don't
numbers.
With, no, you know, relative, fans.
I'm talking about, you know, I'm sorry, Maidenhead fans, but I tend to think there's more at Molineux than there is at your place.
I mean, my point, it's the same point. It's true. It, you know, it is a shame, but there's nothing you can do about it.
No.
Sean Dyche there, this was an interesting quote. He was talking about
your job, by the way.
Exactly.
I've not done it for so long. I've lost the knack. Maybe he'll be in Moose's roundup later.
Perhaps you can find the clip of him saying it. That always helps.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
But he was talking about is it David Bardsley, isn't it? Of course, being
Phil Bardsley.
Phil Bardsley. Sorry. Phil Bardsley, who's tested positive, and of course his brother was visited Wayne Rooney, and he was asked if it was anything to do with it, and Sean said, I'm not the kind of scientist who'd know where he caught it from. What kind of scientist are you? You're not any kind of scientist, are you?
I'm more microbiology, really.
I'm not the kind of scientist.
Study of amoebas I specialised in. Imagine if he had his own lab. The comedian Will Hay. You remember Will Hay, Andy? This is one for the... Ask your granddad or your great-granddad, kids.
I don't really know. I've heard of him.
He was a huge star, film star, a British star. But when he was in residency... doing a kind of theatre run or music hall, he would set up a vice and all of his woodworking gear, and he would do his thing. You know, he was into that, so he'd have a little setup in the dressing room when he was doing a long run. So I'd like to think maybe
odd.
No, it worked. Yeah, but no, he was a bit of a polymath. He was. Have a look into him. Anyway, so he, I'd like the idea that Sean Dyche would have a lab. In his office. Don't do it. Come in, Phil. Don't touch that test tube. Why does he sound like Tommy Cooper and Butch from Sootney? I told you I'd lost it. I can't do it anymore. Hello, Mr. Corbett. I'm gone. I can't do
it
anymore. It's your job, by the way. That's a bit bad. That's all I can say. That's all I can say like him. Jorginho has been teaching Thiago Silva English.
I've noticed.
Such as man on.
Yeah.
Or switch play. Or drop. Or up. Yeah. But I bet he's taught him some swearing as well, hasn't he?
Of course he has.
And he said, the first time he said, what's the word for drop? And he said, well, begins with F. Let's take you through. There'll be a few of those as well.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Now, after the football last night, Andy, I spent a little bit of time researching our next guest.
Oh, yeah.
Because you've got to take it seriously when you've got an England player joining you on the show.
Yeah. Mm.
We're very pleased to say we're joined now by the Chelsea and England fullback Reece James. It's not him, Andy.
Oh no, who is it?
It's the other one.
Oh well, okay.
Spurs supporting comedian Reece James. Good afternoon, Reece.
Very harsh.
Unbelievable.
I'm surprised you're still there.
The rise of Chelsea right-back Reece James is an increasing concern. I come here in good faith to speak to my close friends, Paul and Andy, and this is how you reward me.
Well, it's spelt differently,
right.
But obviously on radio we get away with that, but if this was in print we would have been stymied. But of course not, Reece. I've been doing plenty of research on the return of your podcast, which has been very successful and has a bit of sport in it, including Tom Rosenthal's Cricket Raps.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, I don't want to do down any other guests. We've had 21 guests so far, but Tom Rosenthal's episode is by far the best. So the podcast is about bringing on the stuff you wrote or created when you were younger, maybe a teenager. It's called Early Work. And Tom Rosenthal came on with these actual recordings of some raps he had made himself, which already is inexplicable. And these raps happen to be for and about Cookham Dean Cricket Club. He made a point of not listening to them again before he came on. So it was the first time he'd heard them for about 10 years when he came on. So he was as surprised as me to see these were cricket-based raps. And, I mean, they're exceptional. They would inspire any cricket team.
Fantastic.
I didn't even know he liked cricket. I know he loves football, but there you go.
Yeah.
And your tour's back on, isn't it? Some reschedule. We'll hope it's back on anyway for next year.
Well, who knows? If not, I'll just start turning up at the Chelsea ground and trying to get on the team.
Yeah, the podcast is a great idea. I mean, if have you had anybody say, oh, no, I can't do that, that's far too embarrassing? Have you approached sort of friends or comedians who said, I've got stuff, but I can't put it out there, it's just too embarrassing?
Absolutely loads of them. I mean, yeah, loads of people. You'd think comedians. I mean, a lot of people say, I don't have that stuff, I burnt it years ago. But there's some that say, look, I do have it, but it'll be a cold day in hell before I tell it to you on a podcast. So that's frustrating. But the people that we have got are great. I mean, I'm not far down the list of my choices. And there's some other sport ones coming up. So Ivo Graham, you may know Graham
from the on your show.
He's coming up soon in a couple of weeks. He had a great story. He got given a task at school to write a story about a storm. And he basically says, oh, it was once a windy night. And then I woke up the next day and I watched Man United v Spurs. And it was 3-1 and Gary Neville was excellent. And he basically only talks about Gary Neville for the rest of the story. And then the feedback from his teacher is, I mean, this isn't a story about a storm. It's a story about Gary Neville. What are you doing? And that's what 6-year-old Ivo was into. He was into Gary Neville.
Have you got? You must have some fairly embarrassing stuff. This would have been the springboard for it, really. Some of the things. Is it what stuff you found on your own and thought, I can't be alone in this?
Absolutely, yeah. So, I mean, I must have the world record for angsty poetry written as a 17-year-old. So every week on the show, I get the guest on. We chat about what they were like at school and stuff. And then they read me something, a few bits that they've chosen from when they were younger. And that can be, you know, as a 6-year-old like Ivo or a teenager like Tom or even older. Some people have come on and read stuff from when they're at university. But then to level the playing field, I will read one of my pieces so that we're both feeling embarrassed. So that it's not, you're not alone in your shame, so that we can both feel embarrassed. So mine are all poems so far. And there's a couple of like articles I wrote for student newspapers and stuff that are pretty terrible. Mm. But it's mostly just really awful poetry about feeling sad and lonely as a 17-year-old.
I found a poem a little while ago, actually, when I was just, I did it at school. I was not quite 10.
Really?
And it was about the first fight between Ali and Frazier. The one that
even then you were so sport.
I was very sport, yeah. But yeah, but I found it a little while ago amongst some old stuff at Mum's place. I think it was it's a bit of a shocker, really. It's almost like a fight report.
Podcast, yeah,
that's all I've found though.
Now,
yeah. So is it the second series? Is the first one's already available, and then you say the second series is that up and ready to go now as well?
Yeah, it's just kicked off. So we had the first one. We had New York comedian Catherine Cohen came on and read out a massive document of old poems that she wrote about some boy that she fancied, who, by the sounds of it, didn't fancy her back. And then we've got a few Ivos coming up. David Baddiel's coming up soon. He's got some stuff. And O.T. Fagbenle, who's in Black Widow, is a Hollywood actor, Hollywood royalty. He's next week, and he's got this one-man show about this crazy person he met in New York once, and he does a genuine acting performance in it where he puts on a proper accent, and it puts a lot of all the comedians come on and they just read stuff and they go, isn't this embarrassing? He properly went for it. That's the difference. A RADA trained on a podcast, that's what you need.
You do. I'm just looking it up on Spotify. I mean, it's good that you started this before the pandemic and kept it going throughout, so it's probably quite cathartic for you as well during that period.
Cathartic. Plus, you know, it's nice to have a revenue stream.
Of course it is. Yeah, yeah.
I thought of that.
Now, you are a Tottenham fan, and Jose has basically said there's no such thing as Spursy anymore, which is a bit difficult to argue after the game against West Ham at the weekend. What was your... I mean, it was interesting. Jason Burton, The Telegraph, a writer I enjoy, but he said, he was talking about the lack of crowds, and he said, would Tottenham have capitulated had there been a full house at Tottenham? I was thinking, oh, yeah.
I don't think it would have made any difference at all. Got more nervous.
Yeah, exactly, because they would have fed... Because at 3-1, they would have completely fed off of us thinking, that's it, we've blown it, it's going to be 4-3 to them, because that is the default position for the Tottenham fan, isn't it?
100%. And I ask you, did you, as a Spurs fan, think at half-time we are going to win the league? Like so many Spurs fans who refuse to learn. We never learn. Year after year, we give ourselves hope again from one good half. Yeah. And then, of course, Spursy is alive and well. It's more alive than ever. It just gets stronger and stronger, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, the thing about it, he's got to be the man to shake it off. He has got to be the one, because it maybe he is. Once if he can go out and win something and win something ugly, maybe that Spursy will be gone forever. He'll lift. It'll be like the curse of the Bambino.
Well, yeah, that's the point of Mourinho. That is the point, that he is a winner, and hopefully from your point of view, that you're going to do that.
Yeah.
Paul Jenkins said it was the most Spursy thing since Mr. Spursy was appointed Professor of Spursy at Oxford University.
That's right. He was channeling his Blackadder, I think, Paul, a little bit earlier on. And it's Lask tonight, a new Austrian side, a new one on me. I've got to be honest, Reece. I don't know if you've been doing a lot of research on them, but it seems that Gareth Bale will start tonight.
Will he? Okay, that's interesting. I mean, yeah, I was a big Lask fan as a boy, actually, so this is quite a conflict for me tonight. It's hard to know who to support. But look, we've seen Gareth Bale do it in Europe a number of times for Spurs and for Madrid. Maybe Lask is where he gets his, you know, his first goal since he's come back for Spurs, which he so nearly got the other day. That was the ultimate heartbreak, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He was all set up for the perfect return, and then nope, Spursy is alive.
Well, I think that shows what he can do. Yeah. I mean, Jose say he's not the same player. Of course he's not going to be the same player. That's obvious. But he's still got something. You could see that in that one moment.
Oh, 100%. Also, I mean, I did enjoy the fact that for the last 10 minutes of that game, every Spurs player was just trying to set up Gareth Bale for that dream return. It was like playing FIFA. It was ridiculous.
I saw Reguilon at one point was so desperate to play him in. I mean, if there'd been somebody just waiting for the ball on the line unmarked, he still would have been looking for Bale. could see that because he's his mate and he wanted to look after him. But Reece, good to talk to you. And we wish you well with a podcast. And come and see us in the studio when you can.
Would love to. Thank you very much.
There we are. Reece James, R-H-Y-S.
Yeah.
Spelt differently. Early Work is Series 2, wherever you
sounds
get your
good,
podcast.
Yeah, it does. Sounds like some good Tom Rosenthal one. Lasker, fifth in the Australian Bundesliga.
Australian, are they?
Did I say really? Australian?
Okay,
I meant Austrian.
Good. At least we'll know what the referees are saying during the game. That's it, yeah. It's great they've got in Europa League. Well, I suppose after getting in the Eurovision Song Contest,
that's how they did it.
They can actually be in the Europa League as well.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
This is a nice upbeat story. Daniel Bramble, British long jumper, was hoping to get to the Olympics in Tokyo. His funding was cut. That was making it far more difficult. Like a lot of other people, he had to adapt during the early days of the virus, found himself as a delivery driver, and it looked like maybe the dream had died. But thanks to a lot of generous people, that's not the case. And very pleased to say Daniel joins us now. Good afternoon, Daniel.
Hi, how's it going?
Yeah, good, thank you. Yeah, as I said, so I've kind of summed up roughly what was going on, but you had to go out and get a proper job, if you like, for a while, didn't you? Because there were no options.
Yeah, that's it, pretty much. I just had to get my head down and kind of focus on, you know, just getting an income of some sort. And yeah, that's the option that came up.
Yeah,
I like the fact that you used it as a sort of fitness routine while you were delivering to keep the...
That's jumping over people's fences.
Yeah, I got told off a few times, but mainly it was just lunging upstairs. I'd always like skip two or three stairs at a time and just try to get a workout out of it.
Now good. You missed out on the last Olympics by a centimetre. You're up there sort of vying with Greg Rutherford, and then you picked up an injury. You went off to the Commonwealth Games despite the fact that you know you were unfunded and did pretty well there. But beyond that point, I mean, it must be very difficult if you haven't got that bit of support. You don't make a lot from the funding, but you get support with winter training and facilities and kit and stuff like that, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. And it's mainly like the physio and stuff. That's the next aspect that is quite expensive if you don't have it to hand. So, yeah, just all those factors really add up. Yeah, that's mainly why I started to GoFundMe, just to kind of help support that. For the level I want to be at, trying to juggle a job and train full time is really difficult. So I'm just trying to work a way around it best as possible.
And you should name your main fund, the people who provide the main funding, because they were very, very generous.
Yeah, I mean, it is a great story, isn't it? Because I think you'd got sort of $2,000 or $3,000 or maybe a little bit more than that from people being generous from the crowdfunding once you told them what you were looking to do. But somebody out of nowhere shocked you and just took it up to the 12,000 that you were looking for.
Honestly, I just even thinking, just you saying that, it just gives me goosebumps because I just randomly checked my GoFundMe. And that was on the Thursday, the day after my birthday. And I saw Gymshark there. I was like, oh, it must be an advert kind of thing. It's only when I clicked in it, I saw the amount that was in there. Like, I actually dropped my phone on the floor. I just couldn't believe it.
Yeah. I mean, they'd made up the rest. They'd about over $8,000 Gymshark had put in. And look, this is, be fair to them, this is not a great time for gyms at the moment, isn't it? It's a pretty difficult time. A lot of gyms are closing down different areas. So it was a decent, generous thing to do.
Honestly, and like I was just happy at the time. I was just happy with the £10, £5 I was getting from everyone. Because it's really humbling to like have strangers kind of invest in your story and your journey. But when that happened, when I saw the 8,875, I think it was, I was just blown away. I thought my eyesight had gone funny. I just couldn't believe it.
So what was the 12,000? What does that allow you to do?
So that allows me to, because I'm based up in Loughborough now, so that allows me to pay my rent for a little while, secure physio for a while, play membership for the facilities I use, new kit, warm weather training camps. It covers all of that, like all the important key stuff that I need. And it just makes a massive, massive difference, because I feel like I can relax and focus on what I moved up to Loughborough to do.
Yeah, of course.
Because previously, athletes had a lot of help from lottery funding, but I'm not 100% sure of this, but it's been cut quite a bit, hasn't it?
Yeah, I feel like in the last few years it has been cut, so they have to be quite picky with who they select. So yeah, that's probably one of the reasons why I didn't get it back in 2017. But I've adapted accordingly, I think. And then, yeah, and this year has just been a massive, massive help.
Yeah, you say it's quite a big step to do that, to crowdfund. Where is it? Was it a bit of a hurdle to overcome? You were a bit reticent at first.
Yeah, it was really like a pride thing. I'm not one to ask for help at the best of times, especially like that's mainly why I picked athletics in the first place. I wanted to be kind of in charge of my own destiny. So to even set up the GoFundMe, it's kind of like it's one of those ones that you don't really want to ask for help, but you know you need help. So I set it up, and yeah, ever since then I'm glad I did it. I'm glad I stepped out of my comfort zone in that sense.
There's something good about helping an athlete, though, especially if you do get to the Olympics, because then everybody has kind of an investment in you, a piece of you, if you know what I mean, in a nice way.
Yeah,
100%. And I think that's what's important. Like, if for me, that gives me drive. That makes me want to prove my point even more. Some people said, "No, doesn't that make you feel like pressure?" I was like, "No, because these people have like invested in me, so I feel like I just need to almost show off. Like, I almost need to make sure their investment's worth it."
I don't know if James Ellington has reached out to you, because we spoke to him back in 2011 when he did a very similar thing. He basically sold his sponsorship rights on eBay before London 2012. In an effort to go there. He got a bit of support. I think King of Shaves helped him out back then, along with other people. But there are kind of parallels there, but I think you'd probably find that quite an interesting conversation.
100%. I haven't actually spoken to him recently, but yeah, he's a good friend of mine, like off the track. So yeah, it'll be something to chat about.
Yeah. So how things sort of shaping up? You're going to get back into training soon and start? I mean, what do you need to do to qualify for the Olympics next year?
Yeah, so I'm in my third week of training now. I'm back up in Loughborough. Third week of training. So I'm feeling more like an athlete now. The first week I was kind of, I was fueled up on meal deals and walking around, so I hadn't actually run around too much. So the first week was really difficult getting back into it, but now I feel like an athlete again. I'm jumping around again. So things are looking up. So I have from the 1st of December till next summer to kind of jump the standard. And that's the goal. I'm going to have an indoor season, take it from there. If the indoor season goes well, we'll continue through to the summer. If not, we'll take a step back and work on what I need to work on. But all in all, I'm so much more optimistic now.
Brilliant.
And just finally, any advice for people who have got the Amazon driver rocking up at their place? I mean, were people generally nice to you and friendly, or what was the experience like? Because we're all having it at the moment. Yeah. There might be a few tips from someone who's been at the sharp end.
always be friendly. Always just make sure, especially now, make sure you're socially distanced. Just be friendly. Be happy. Like that's all I can say about it, really.
Yeah, it's not bad advice.
Yeah, it makes a massive difference to your experience and their experience.
Of course.
Good stuff, Daniel. Good to talk to you. We'll keep in touch. Best of luck with the training. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
There we are, Daniel Bramble there, British long jumper, who turned to crown funding, has now got his money, which is good.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Big night of Europa League football, and you want to know?
For me, isn't?
No. Okay, I know. I mean, I meant in general.
Yes. No, there is some good
I
games.
Remember those days when I could not watch football on a Thursday night. It wasn't that long ago.
No.
It was last year. Anyway, and yeah, we'll be looking at all the opposition, the British clubs, five, of course, the Old Firm, of course, and three teams in the Premier League in action tonight. Story of the day for me, though, Andy, this is fantastic. This is all about Valencia, their fans. They decided they want to force out the club's board. And so there's different ways you do that. You know, you get on social media and you drum up a bit of interest and you hold up banners. But this is very, very clever. What they've decided to do, they have hired a mariachi band.
Really? Not from Bake Off. They had to get rid of them.
No, to basically mither the directors. So whenever the directors go around, there's a mariachi band that follows them and plays incredibly loud. And gets under their skin. So that is very clever. I mean, I don't think anybody's ever used a mariachi band as a weapon. That is quite
unusual. Do you think it's going to work?
I've got no idea. I imagine it would be quite a wind-up when you're trying to concentrate and go about your work. So anyway, I just thought I'd bring that to you. Have you got anything for us?
I have, and you know people enjoy my work.
Keep going, Andy.
People enjoy my work about Harry and Meghan.
Oh, do they really? Yeah. Carry on, yeah.
They've been told that after being told that they live near a bear, they've now been told that a mountain...
Did he put you off, by the way?
No, he didn't.
Okay.
I kept going. You can keep it going, I don't care. Been told that a mountain lion is prowling near their home.
What, as well as the bear?
Yeah, where are they living? Woburn Safari Park. That's ridiculous.
Good, very good.
I know. This is a more serious story, but...
Oh, yeah. I'm slightly worried it's a more serious story. No, maybe you better not do that under a mariachi band.
I won't do that. I'll do Reader's Trousers. That's always better.
That deserves a mariachi band, doesn't it?
Yeah, keep the mariachi.
Yeah.
This is great.
Mariachi Gemmel.
If you've stopped wearing jeans because you now find them uncomfortable, who's that?
Oh, yeah.
Then these, I won't name them, trousers are the answer to your prayers. When has trousers been the answer to anybody's prayers?
I mean, prayers.
Let us pray.
We've just discovered today, under a mariachi soundtrack, that Andy Jacobs can't say the word prayers.
Prayers.
Not prayers. Prayers are people that pray. Prayers are things that they're praying. Yes, you get the idea.
Is it?
Prayers.
Answer to your prayers.
I'm looking next door. Is this sounding a bit odd to you? It is. Prayers. That's
gentlemen
right,
versus prayers. Amazing stretch denim that moves with you bending and sitting.
Does it really?
Well, that's right. Auto expanding side stretch waistband providing you room to breathe. Well, thank goodness. You could also try going on diet. That might help.
Very understanding. Anyway, should we have a quick... we're going to bring back an old favourite. We know the listeners like it. Let's have
the other serious story was more important than Reader's Trousers.
But not with a mariachi band. We'll come back to that. Yeah. What's in Andy's bag? This is the point where about every few months we ask Andy to delve inside. He's a man that carries... He can't say that's prayers. Terrible. And he carries some really weird, wonderful stuff around with him. So let's see what's in Andy's bag. So here we go then.
Spare baseball cap.
What's on the front of the baseball cap?
You bought it for me. 2013 World Series.
Okay, nice. Just in case you need a spare baseball
cap. A tripod and phone extension that I bring in for our producer, John, so that when we record the link to the podcast...
Yeah.
He can be socially...
It's like a fishing rod that we have to stand on the end of. Okay, so what else is in Andy's bag? He's rooting through the bag.
This is some sort of medicine.
What is it? Is it a nasal
hay
thing?
Hay fever relief. I haven't got hay fever. What have I got? don't even suffer from hay fever.
This allows him to see... It gets rid of the clutter. What's that?
That's a bit of plastic.
A little bit of plastic that probably had a pen in it or something by the look of it.
Oh, another baseball cap. That's
a Lakers baseball cap. Okay, what else is it?
A set of patched-up headphones.
Some
cuttings that I didn't get to do on the show.
Okay, are they very old? Is anything good on there?
Oh, yeah, there's a thing that goes with that. What was it? Ultradex breath spray.
Okay, and he's got a breath spray.
Not that you can get anywhere near enough anybody to worry about it now.
He's got a small case. He's just opening. What's in the small case?
Those glasses. I haven't worn those for a few months.
Pair of old round glasses. The Richard Wattis situation, as Glenn would call it. What else is in Andy's bag?
Richard Wattis.
There we are.
Oh, yeah, another one of those.
Righty wears glasses like that. They've come around again, haven't they? Righty wears a little round glasses. So it's made for Righty to come on in round glasses. What's this?
This is about Glove Story 2. This is a book that's coming out.
Yeah.
By Rob Stokes, and it's all for Willow, and that's a picture of a nice cartoon
Wilson. We'll have a chat with the guys about that when it comes out, yeah.
Keep calm, I'm a Chelsea fan. I don't know where I got that from.
That's a beer mat that somebody kindly bought us a little while ago.
One of those things, a biro.
That's a tissue, a biro. What else we got in there?
Some anodyne.
Anodyne, yeah.
A marker pen.
Nice, yeah. Anything else? Here we go. We're getting down the bottom of the bag. This is where it gets interesting.
Oh, a half-eaten packet of...
McCoy's, which is now lobbed all over the studio.
Flame-grilled...
What flavour?
Flame-grilled beef.
Flame-grilled beef? Why did you not finish them?
I don't know. I'm on a diet. More anodyne. God, what am I expecting here?
More anodyne.
Severe headache.
How much anodyne have you got?
I didn't think they were allowed to sell you that.
You normally have an awful lot of rehydration.
A spare thing of Japanese genmaicha tea.
Yeah. What else we got there? The instructions for the anodyne, I think, isn't it?
That's the instructions for the hay fever.
Okay, fair enough. We're still rooting down the bag. There's more to come. It's an amazing bag. It's fantastic. It's like Narnia. What else is there?
What is there? There's, I don't know what that is.
That's some kind of, that's an anti...
Oh, a couple of Imodium, they always come in.
Offset the anodyne. Yeah.
I haven't even reached the side pocket yet.
Okay, well, blimey, here we go. We're going into the side pocket. Part two. Join us in coming up. It's the side pocket.
Rubber gloves.
What you got them for?
Don't even ask.
That's nothing to do with the Imodium, is it?
No, the hygienic.
Okay, fair enough, yeah.
Seem to have taken quite a lot of the.
You've got a lot of rubber gloves.
Another marker pen.
Yeah.
It's a very old chocolate.
Oh, yeah, it's about 4 cubes of rancid looking chocolate.
A couple of things for anti fog wipes to stop my glasses steaming.
When you're wearing a mask,
Almost there now.
Nearly there. What else in Andy's bag?
Oh, dear. Some more old chocolate. Okay.
Rancid old chocolate and crisps.
More old chocolate. That's not good.
It's not cheap, the chocolatey, but it's probably about a tenner's worth of chocolate he had lying at the bottom of the bag.
That's it.
The bag.
Was what was in my bag.
We only do it every few months because there's certainly less rehydration tablets than usual, less Imodium, but a lot more anodyne, which is strange, isn't it? So a real insight.
Yeah. I feel like it was a take some, even though I haven't got a headache.
James Woods, if it's Jimmy Woods, the actor, he says, yes, Andy, your pronunciation of prayers does sound funny.
Oh, sorry.
And one of the other listeners says, who's your favourite player? Wants to know in the world of football, one of the listeners.
I love the players.
Yeah. Prayers. I've never heard it pronounced like that before. It's a first for us. Anyway.
I've got to throw all this stuff out, really.
So this is the great thing. He's putting it all back in. Rancid chocolate, half-eaten bag of crisps, all going back in the bag for next time.
Yes. The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at UH1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Before we go, Andy, earlier on, if you were listening earlier on, we discovered Andy had a very interesting way of saying the word prayer. He says
Prayer,
as if
it's a bit
someone
like drawing. I can't say that either.
Someone who's praying, basically. And well, our producer thought that deserved the musical treatment.
Okay. Prayers. Yeah, glad they're busy.
Yeah.
Tremendous.
It was either that or watch Neighbours. There's actually Bill Fordham, TalkSport listener, who came up with the idea on the producer's behalf. But thank you, Bill. Well done.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon show. Did you like the musical treatment the boys gave you for Prayer?
Pretty good, yeah.
Not bad, was it? Yeah. They can stay. Okay, we'll catch up with you tomorrow. We'll have the clips of the week. There could be another musical number in that and lots of other stuff as well. Until then, thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport. Score a bank account boosting 5K in cash simply by identifying Trevor Sinclair's former teammate from the following clues.
He played for Chelsea and West Ham. He won over 100 international caps. He scored a goal that wasn't a goal for England in South Africa.
Text WIN and your answer to 63320. Text costs £2 plus normal sending charge. Entries close 6 p.m. Friday, October 23rd. 18 plus. Please gamble responsibly. See TalkSport.com/competitions for terms and conditions.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.